This morning, we have Frank Brazel who's gonna come and share with us. Yeah, and I think this is his first time. Is this your first time, Sharon? All right, first time. Here you go, Frank.
Well, good morning, everybody, and hello to any Grace College of Divinity students who are listening to this online. Like Dr. Crowther said, since it is my first time speaking in chapel, I think everybody is due a confession. Is everybody okay with that, starting out this morning? Yeah, a little bit? Okay. So one thing I've noticed being around Grace College of Divinity and Mana Church for the last few years is there are some tendencies in the NFL teams that we like. You have the Washington Redskins, you have the New York Giants, and you have everybody's perennial favorite, the Dallas Cowboys. But there's one trend I've noticed, and it's that people in ministry tend to like teams that aren't doing so hot right now. So I just wanted to confess before everybody, first time chapel, I only get one shot at doing this. I am a fan of the zero-time world champion Detroit Lions. All right, so now that that's out of the way, we're going to talk about what God has been teaching me really over the last 2.5, 3 years, time spent in this circle, in this ministry circle. And that's been about family first. The process of putting family ahead of ministry has been something that I've really struggled with. That's why it's taken 2.5, 3 years for me to learn it. So in thinking about that, you know, I'm reminded of a story from church history, from a late 19th century British missionary, David Livingstone. David Livingstone is originally from Scotland. He went to Africa at the encouragement of this great missionary father, Robert Moffat. And essentially, he went to Africa with the intention of spreading the gospel deep into the interior, to these thousands of villages from which smoke could be seen rising of people who had never heard about Jesus. And so Livingstone thinks this is a great idea. He goes to Africa, and those thousand villages are not easily accessible. So he starts exploring deep into the interior. He'll come back to the missionary compound there that Robert Moffat runs and recuperate. And while he's there recuperating, he decides to get married to Robert's daughter, Mary Moffat. But once they get married, and he's had some time to recuperate again from being in the bush, he goes right back out into the interior, and he leaves his wife. And this becomes his pattern of going to pursue missionary work deep into the interior of Africa and mapping work, and ultimately he's going to explore more of interior Africa than anyone else from the British Empire. But when he comes back to the compound, things are not happy. He is frustrated with his wife. He thinks that she's a drag on him. She's always pregnant, which is his fault. He doesn't admit that, but you know, he's getting frustrated that he's married. And so eventually he gets so frustrated that he sends his wife and children back to England, or back to Britain, and pretty much abandons them. He goes right back to doing exploratory work into the interior of Africa. And his wife ends up destitute, penniless, and an alcoholic. So he more or less abandons his family. So, you know, in talking about putting family first, we do have to be careful not to judge Livingstone by the standards of the 21st century. This was semi-normal 200 years ago. But nonetheless, Scripture does talk about this, talks about family and ministry. And so, you know, we can look at that through a biblical lens. You know, a few years ago, while I was starting to learn this, while I was on the front end of learning this process of putting family before ministry, I was in the World Cafe. I was an intern with the Experience College internship. And Elliot Diaz came up to me and said, "Frank, how do you do this? You're a graduate student. You're an intern. You're working part-time. You have a wife, you have a son, you have another son on the way. Do you sleep?" And I don't remember what I answered him with, but it wasn't the real answer, because I've only learned what the real answer was in the last couple of years. How did I do all those things, all those good things? I neglected my family, right? I put ministry and the 9 to 5 of that, which we all know it isn't really 9 to 5, ahead of the people that God's called me to minister to first. Paul talks about this dichotomy that occurs between those who are single and those who are married. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 7. If you want to turn there or look at your phone, it's 32 through 34. Now, there's a lot of eschatology involved with this. There's a very specific context Paul is working with, but I'm bringing this up simply to say that there's a difference between what single people have to worry about and those who have families, whether you have a spouse, whether you have children. And the likelihood is that many of you, if you're not already in that situation, will be at some point. Paul says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Again, I bring this up not to talk about the preferability or not preferability of marriage, but rather to demonstrate that there is a different set of responsibilities involved in each lifestyle, whether you're married, have children, single. Now that we've seen that there's a difference, why does marriage and family come first? You know, don't we want to do kingdom work first? Right? That's a good thing, and we wouldn't be in this room if that wasn't important to us. But God has given us our spouse, our children, those people most near to us, so that we can minister to them and be ministered by them. You know, especially with kids, I've been learning that these are little marred by sin people that God has given me and my wife to steward, to lead, to try and make sure that they become followers of Jesus. And that's hard. For those of you with children, you know it's hard. It's hard to maintain your own sanctification while you have little kids. Paw Patrol, be there on the duck, right? Drives you nuts. But anyway, Paul talks further about this in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5, this qualifications for deacons and overseers, these people in the early church, that if there's someone in some kind of full-time, it may or may not have been vocational, but full-time ministry all the time in the trenches, what are their qualifications? And I used to look at this list and say, okay, check that box. Yep, all right, manage my household. Don't know what that means, but yeah, I think I do it. Check that box. I didn't really understand it. But Paul is talking about here, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church? And this is what God's really been teaching me the last 2.5, 3 years, is how when we put these things out of order, things are not right and things don't work. Obviously, you have God at the top of this hierarchy, right? Everybody agree? We're good with that? Okay, good, because if not, this is going to be a weird ending of this talk. But it's not ministry and then family. It's family and then ministry. And that seems counterintuitive if we're trying to have a productive, God-honoring, kingdom-advancing ministry. But one thing I've learned is that when I leave the house and I'm not managing my household well, and I've not got my kids doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm leaving and they're screaming and there's upset and there's stress, and oh, look, it's 9:05 and I'm just now getting out the door. I needed to be at work 5 minutes ago. It doesn't lead to a very productive day in ministry, does it? But instead, when I as a parent and as a spouse, because this applies both ways, when I am pursuing the Lord and leading my family in the Lord and I'm managing my household, I'm not blowing up at my kids because Paw Patrol is blasting at max volume at 8:30 in the morning, it actually makes for a more productive day in ministry. When my wife feels loved, feels supported, feels empowered at home, it allows her to in turn support me so that when I come home, I'm not still stressing out, that I can leave the cares of work and ministry there. And so I just want to leave you with that think about this counterintuitive system that God has designed where we put God first and then family and then ministry and see how the results differ when we put it in that proper order. So I'm going to close this out, and then we're going to break up into our groups pending further instructions if we're having a different kind of meeting. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for being here with us in our midst, in all things, in a different room, in a different place. God, we pray your blessing over Fayetteville and over Cumberland County as we're here to be your people. The church is people, not a building, not a location. We pray that we would continue to be your people in the midst of all of the panic that some have. God, that we would be a source of peace because our peace derives from you. God, bless our day, bless our week in ministry, and bless our families as we pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen.